Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
What's up? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And what's up, Xander?
Not much. Just, getting ready to come into the what I call the boring period of sports. No more football. Still waiting for baseball to start. We're in the middle of the NBA season, and I don't really talk much about hockey on this show. So it's kind of a dull period right now. But I guess, the first thing we could do, I want to talk about the Super Bowl. I mean, huge game last week, and wasn't a very exciting game, but if you bet on Denver, like we recommended on the show, came up pretty happy. So what were your thoughts on the game?
I thought it was a crappy game, but again, as we have preached on the show since its inception, if you're going to be a sports investor, then you have to look for the team that can play defense. And they're both good, but Denver's defense was a little bit better, and Von Miller was just a sick dog, man. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, him and DeMarcus Ware, the AFC Championship game in the Super Bowl were unbelievable. Put so much pressure on the quarterback, and the Panthers looked like they didn't even have a chance that game. I mean, they did absolutely nothing on offense, and kind of funny, the Broncos became the first team ever to win a Super Bowl with less than 200 yards of offense. It was pretty ironic, I thought. We actually said on the show that we thought that the Panthers would need at least 24 points to win that game, and the Broncos actually scored 24. And overall, a very crappy game, and definitely Panthers did not come to play, I don't think. I mean, this defense was very good, but Cam Newton, the wide receivers, nobody was out there really making plays, and when everything's spiraling downward, I think it just, had a huge impact on the game, and they never really got into a rhythm. And, I mean, part of that had to do with, the immense amount of pressure on the quarterback. Peyton Manning looked like Peyton Manning. He was not very good. Didn't even really do a good job as a game manager, but, at the end of the day, it's his second Super Bowl win. Was very happy for him that he accomplished it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, we assume that that he'll retire now, but I thought he did fine, and he took him down in the beginning of the game. He took him down, and then the game became a war, and as you said, Carolina didn't look ready to play, but that was we kind of addressed that last week on the show. We said that it's all well and good in the regular season, but can those receivers do what they did in the regular season? And they couldn't. Now, granted, there was a couple of shady calls in the game, that could have gone either way. That might have turned the tide, but I just thought it felt the whole time. I mean, it's funny because on September 10th, I did say that Denver was going to win the Super Bowl. So
I remember that.
So it was an okay game. I mean, like I said, it was a crappy game, and it was long, and but I mean, it was a kind of as we described it would be. It just was not a very exciting game. But Von Miller, Marcus Ware, unbelievable. C.J. Anderson had some nice runs.
Right, and speaking of big calls, I thought in that first quarter that when the Panthers are backed up, I think, on their own 10-yard line, that play with Jericho Cotchery and, the catch that got challenged, I'm not so sure that that wasn't a catch. I know that the ball was moving a little bit, but I don't think it ever moved against the ground. And I thought that was a huge turning point in the game, because the next play, Von Miller comes up and strip sacks Cam Newton, and the Broncos pick it up for a touchdown. What did you think that was a catch, or what were your thoughts on it?
I really didn't know, but I think what happened there is that when he rolled over, they couldn't really see the ball, so they didn't know if the ball ended up on the ground. And that was the key. You know, if they'd have ruled the complete, I don't think they would have changed it. But I think it was a it could have gone either way. And again, it was a big call in the game. And I thought the officiating was pretty poor in the game, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a big fan of it. You know, I hate to see, you know, when the refs kind of, you know, get a little bit too involved in the game. I mean, I understand they're there to keep everything in check, but sometimes, you know, referees like to make it a little bit more about themselves. I'm not saying that they did that in this case, but, you know, not the greatest officiating for, you know, the biggest game of the year.
You know, I thought the penalty on Salib early was a bad call. I thought, and then later they could have made the call the other side. They didn't make it. But overall, I mean, you know, Von Miller going to get a big payday. He's going to be a free agent, so I'm sure they're going to franchise him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they will. You know, I don't think that's the player's favorite move to get franchise tagged, but I mean, he's such a special talent. You know, I think you can make a case that he's the best pass rusher in the league. Him and Khalil Mack, another great young guy in the Raiders. But, yeah, I mean, he probably is going to get franchise tagged and then probably look to sign a monster contract the next year. But, you know, this Denver defense, I mean, with all this talent, I mean, you definitely got to put him in the conversation for a title run next year, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, they're looking good, and I think that it'll be, you know, we'll see. But you know, overall, I mean, they're certainly, you know, terrific. I mean, you know, what can you say?
Right, and you know, I want to talk a little bit about Cam Newton and the post game press conference and everything that's been surrounding him. You know, what do you think of how he reacted and what people are saying about him?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was wrong. I think he knows he was wrong. It was kind of a lousy setup, but you can't blame it. You still got to be a man. You got to man up, as they say. I thought it was a bum deal on his part, and I think that he'll grow from that, and I think he'll learn from that. I think he's a pretty good guy. I don't, you know, heat of the moment, loss is cool. At least he didn't say anything that would, you know, hurt anybody, right? I mean, he could have gone off, and I mean, at least he just basically walked away, which I give him credit for that. But I think that that he made a mistake, and I think he realizes he made a mistake too. What did you think?
Right. Yeah, I really like Cam Newton too. I think he's a pretty stand-up guy. I mean, obviously celebrates for a little bit too much for some people's liking, but I mean, even after this whole thing, I mean, that's just who he is. And he said, I'm not going to change for anybody. And I can definitely respect that. I thought he had an interesting quote. He said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. And it's kind of interesting. But I don't think it's really about being a good loser when you lose. I think it's about being a professional. And, you know, part of your job as professional is, you know, you go and face the music. You know, after the game, media is asking you questions. I mean, you got to answer them. I mean, that's just part of the job. So I think he, you know, misinterpreted a little bit what people were saying about him with that. But I think also people were being a little bit too harsh about the whole thing. I mean, I know you're supposed to answer all the questions, but that setup, though, is atrocious. I mean, you can see in one of the videos, you can hear Chris Harris mouthing off about how they couldn't throw the ball the whole game, you know, separated by a little curtain. You can see Cam look over and his reaction. He's already pretty dejected about losing the biggest game of his life. So I really don't blame him for walking out. I don't think he should. But like I said, I mean, he's a young guy. This is really the biggest stage he's ever been on, and I think he'll be back. And I think he'll definitely grow from this. But overall, great guy. I think he's a good role model. I just think people are a little bit upset that, you know, he's always the guy the whole year that was dancing and dabbing and doing everything when they were winning. And now when they lost, you know, he kind of at a loss for words because they really hadn't lost all year. I mean, they lost one game in the regular season.
We got to go to a break. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back at the break, and we'll talk a little bit more about Cam Newton. This is the Sporting Edge. We'll be right back with Bubba and Xander.
Don't finish this last bite. You don't get my soul, do you? technique.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, yeah, I think you're right, Xander. I think that you're right. You know, he screwed up, you know, but you know what? He'll man up, and I think he is a good guy, and I think that you know, he has a lot of fun, and it didn't work out. And, you know, it's like, you know, have somebody chirping in your ear after you just got lost and you're getting grilled. I mean, you know, hey, I think he's a good dude, and again, I don't accept what he did, but I forgive him for it. So that's what I think about.
Yeah, you know, I think it'll all blow over, and you know, it'll grow up from it. But you know, enough about the NFL. It's over. It's done with. We're going to be gone for a while. I thought this was interesting the other day. Charles Barkley was doing an interview and said that Steph Curry is no more than a great shooter and nothing else. So what do you think about that?
Well, you know, unfortunately, you can't compare eras. You know, we talked about it a couple of times. Seth Curry is a great basketball player. He is a great shooter. The way that they run the offense these days, the way that the whole game is played is different. You know, it's kind of like the sissy NFL now. You know, everything is foul. So you guys get open and they get better looks. And listen, one thing about these guys, you give them an open look, they don't miss too often. And I mean, I can't see him playing in the Jordan era without getting killed, but he's not playing in the Jordan era. He's playing today, and today he's one of the best players on the court. So I can't take anything away from him. You know, we can always go back in history in any sport and say this or that, but at the end of the day, you can't mimic the different thing. Look at the difference in the athletes today. Look at they all what they are. So I can't. I think he's a great basketball player. I do not think he's in the same league as the guys from Jordan's era as far as the superstars. But in today's game, he is arguably the best player in the game, if not one of the best. So I cannot take it away what he does and what he's doing. I mean, look at they're 48-4. I mean, that's sick in its own. They're ahead of the Bulls, 72-win season.
Right. But what do you think about Barkley's comment? Do you think he's just a shooter? Because Barkley thinks he's not a great playmaker. I think he's completely wrong.
But you know, Barkley's living in the past. You know, Barkley, you know, was good because he had a big ass and pushed people out of the paint. You know, he was only a 6'6" power forward back in his day, but he was a muscle guy. You know, everybody wants to look back and you go, guys weren't as good back then. And of course, the game just has changed. I think he's a terrific player. I mean, I agree with you. I think he's a very, very good basketball player. I mean, he's a superstar. And as far as I can see, I don't know. I see the stat line every day. I mean, he's close to a triple double every day. I mean, you know, if he's not great, then what is Russell Westbrook great? I mean, you know, what I mean, so Charles Barkley, A, a little controversy always from Sir Charles, and B, maybe a little jealousy too. You know, I mean, you know, look at this guy's tearing it up.
Right. I like Chuck. I'm a big fan. I think he's a great TV personality. I think this is just, you know, him being himself. You know, just mouthing off about something. I think he's pretty off, though. I mean, Steph Curry, I think, you know, obviously he's the best shooter in the league, but the amount of attention he attracts and the plays he's able to make with the ball, I mean, and the way he passes the ball, too, I think. I mean, I know his assist totals aren't that high, but, I mean, the things he's able to do with the ball, I think, are unbelievable. And, you know, to say that he's not a great playmaker, I mean, the guy leads the league in field goal percentage at the rim. If you think about that for a second, think about a guy his Steph Curry's size leading the league in that percentage. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. I don't think you could argue that doesn't mean he's a great playmaker. I mean, the guy's putting up 30 points a night, leading percentage at the rim in the entire league, best, you know, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, you know, making big plays every night with the ball. And I think the best thing about him is he makes his teammates better because he's a guy, you know, standing 35 feet away from the rim that attracts a ton of attention. So just the fact that he's on the court, I think, makes the four other guys that he's running with that much better because there's so much attention attracted to him. I mean, the guy doesn't miss open looks, and that's why he's always being double guarded. And I mean, I think that he's the biggest reason why the Warriors are 48-4 right now, you know, which is unbelievable. In professional sports, to be that, you know, far and above your competition when everybody is relatively almost as good as each other, I mean, it's unreal. And, you know, that makes me think, you think they got a chance at the Bulls record? You think they're going to do it?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to do it easier. See, now, that's another thing about this era versus the Michael Jordan era is, or even before, those guys played every game. They played 81 games or 82 games, and they didn't sit out unless they're injured. Now you guys got resting, so they're going to get a number of games. They're going to be like freebie kind of games. Doesn't mean they'll win them, but they're going to get a number of games. They're going to be soft. And, you know, so unfortunately, when Barkley did play and when Michael Jordan did play and when Magic Johnson and guys, when they played 82 games and they played, you know, full minutes, 82 games. And now, you know, you get a rest. I mean, these guys are probably playing the equal of, let's say, 60 games now. Okay. So they get the rest. And the travel conditions that these guys go are much better. So, hey, you know what? Again, I cannot compare an era. It's way different. The guys are way different. The players are different. I think they're going to do it. I think. Look, I got news for you. I can't believe some of the games they already lost. So, you know, I think they're going to. They've got some great players. I mean, Klay Thompson and the other forward. What the hell's his name?
Draymond Green.
Green. And, I mean, look, they're a great team. They're a great team that runs a great system that knows exactly what they're trying to do all the time. I can never knock that, right? That gives them the opportunity to play, and they're always in position to win. So, you know, what can you say? I mean, you know, and it's funny because the way the draw falls out here when it's done is that, you know, San Antonio obviously is – San Antonio might go 41-0 at home this year. I mean, that's unbelievable as well.
Right.
But San Antonio struggles with Oklahoma City, and the way the brackets fall right now, they wouldn't see Golden State until they got through Oklahoma City. And the first time in league history, three teams from one conference have over 40 wins at the break.
Unbelievable. I mean, I really think the winner of the NBA champion this season is going to be the winner of the Spurs-Golden State series in the playoffs. I know that Oklahoma City gives the Spurs trouble, I think, just because they're so athletic, but I can't see the Spurs dropping a seven-game series to them. I mean, you got to think, and well, it might be Tim Duncan's last year, Kawhi Leonard, I think, quietly becoming, you know, one of the best players in the NBA if he isn't already. LaMarcus Aldridge, people forget about him. I mean, I really respect LaMarcus Aldridge for coming to San Antonio, kind of taking a back seat in the sense that he's not putting up huge numbers like he did in Portland. Haven't heard a word from him. I mean, and that's what I like about him. He's a winner. A guy likes winning, doesn't care, you know, what his stat line is and whatnot. And David West taking a huge pay cut to come to San Antonio. I mean, those guys are winners. And, you know, I think I really would like to see them play Golden State in the playoffs. I think that'd be a hell of a series.
Oh, I agree. Look, I mean, you know, you've got some great players and you've got some great coaching. I mean, you know, I mean, you've got it all here, and you've got guys that understand the concept of a team game, and nobody better than Tim Duncan. I mean, you know, he is the kind of, I mean, he's taking less money to get a better team. I mean, nobody better than him. I mean, and Pop, well, like you say, great coach.
Right, probably the best. And you know, speaking of chemistry and stuff, it looks like the Rockets are open for business with Dwight Howard, putting him on the trading block. You know, I feel like Dwight Howard, everywhere he goes, it causes trouble. You know, I think he's kind of overrated now. I mean, he's getting older, coming off some surgeries. I don't think he holds a lot of value to teams right now. I mean, we look at his history. I know he made the finals with the Magic that one year. I give him credit for that. But other than that, you look at the other places he's been to, L.A. And Houston, really has caused a lot of problems. And it just seems like, you know, whatever team he's on is kind of dysfunctional. And, you know, I think they should get rid of him. What are your thoughts?
He is a cancer. And we will talk more about him when we come back from the break, because I do want to talk about it because I think it is important. And I think he's a bad guy. But anyways, this is the Sporting Edge. If you ever miss an episode, want to pick it up, you can go to libertytalk.fm. Every episode is there on demand for you. And make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. We've got all kinds of stuff up there for you traders. Make you better. And also check out the Bubba Show during the week every day. We want to make sure that we educate you in all forms of investing, sports, business, and the world. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to step by here for a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Sporting Edge.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and put you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. To the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And so, Xander, I agree with you as much as possible. Dwight Howard is a cancer. Seemed like a great guy back when he was younger. Seemed like he really had it all and did have it all. But for some reason, some guys just don't get it. And that's the sadness of sports. When some guys that have the talent, the body, everything that he had everything. Okay, and he just didn't get it. He just never gets it wherever he goes. And I mean, look at his numbers he can put up, but at the end of the day, he just doesn't get it. And he's the opposite of the San Antonio players. He's the opposite of Curry. He's a loser. Okay, because no matter where he goes, they want to get rid of him as soon as they get him. And I don't think anybody wants him. I mean, I could see Cleveland taking him for if they would trade him. For short, you know, for the end of the season, because he could help them. I could see a team who needed a big man that think he would get him over top to take him for the rest of the year, but I don't see anybody really wanting him max deal. But you know that somebody will give it to him just because he's what he is. What do you think?
Right, yeah. I mean, he definitely holds some value. I mean, you know, he's an enormous defensive presence. I just think, you know, as he's gotten older, I mean, the injuries and the surgeries, you know, you don't want a guy with back and knee problems. I mean, that's usually, I feel like, you know, the end of big men is when their legs go. And they always have a lot of problems. He's 30 years old, but I think he's more near the back end. And like I said, like you said, you know, it seemed like he was really starting to be something special when he was younger. And I think he really plateaued, and I thought he had a lot more potential. But, you know, that's just how some guys are. And I mean, I don't know if James Harden is that much better. I honestly can't say, but I just know that team has a lot of talent, but they really look like they have no chemistry. So, I mean, they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, and of course, Cleveland, you know, Kevin Love, shoulder problems again now. He says he's going to play, but... you know, he's got the break coming up here. Obviously, we've got the All-Star weekend here. This is one of the better All-Star weekends, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the NBA is pretty darn good because, you know, you've got the three-point contest, the dunk contest, you got the celebrity game. I mean, it's something that people enjoy watching. And even if the game isn't that great, the actual All-Star game, it is fun to watch because, you know, you get the lack of defense. And you get a lot of big plays, which is a lot different from football because, you know, watching the lack of defense in the NBA with, you know, the way these guys can get up at the rim and make plays is kind of fun to watch. But, like, you know, we talked about in football, that pass-speed football is really not fun because, you know, you can't really do anything. You know, you can't throw down a huge dunk. I mean, you throw a 50-yard pass, it's, you know, it's cool, but it's cooler when they're playing full speed. So I think the game is pretty cool. You know, all the best players doing some crazy things that you don't even really see during the regular season because, you know, they don't really break out those kind of things during the games that really mean something. But, I mean, this is a fun one. And, you know, my favorite thing to watch is the dunk contest because I think, you know, the things that some of these guys can do is unreal. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Andre Drummond because, you know, it's always fun watching a guy who's that tall, you know, participate, because I think it's a little bit harder for them, but I think he's going to throw down some monster dunks.
I think so, and look, it's a fun contest. It was obviously a lot more fun back in the day. I mean, but it is fun. It's fun to watch. It's a great weekend of stuff, except the game is just an exhibition, which is fine. I mean, again, that's what it should be. You know, I have no problem with it. And what do you think about the Bulls? They're losing guys like crazy. What's his name is out, Butler, and Gibson's out now, and they're falling apart. What do you think?
Yeah, not a good time to be a Bulls fan. I really think they needed to make a push before the All-Star break, you know, to kind of solidify themselves, and they really haven't done that. I think really need to get Jimmy Butler healthy. I mean, that's the most important part. And I think Taj is a pretty important piece, too. I mean, I know he's not the focal point of the team, but I think he does some good things that will definitely be missed. I mean, Paul Gasol looks like he's getting pretty old. And, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, rose up and I think is a top 10 player in this league. So he's really important. The Bulls have kind of disappointed me this year. I didn't really know what to expect, but I thought they'd be, you know, I thought they'd look like a strong candidate to win the East, and they look pretty average to me so far. So I think they really need to pick it up after the All-Star break.
You know, I think that's all Cleveland. I think the next best team is Toronto. I think that I think it's going to come down to Cleveland and Toronto in that. And you know, if Cleveland's healthy, I don't see anybody stopping it. But I see the same as always. I think the West. How the West was won is going to be, I think it's going to be won once again by the Western Conference. I don't see any of the Eastern Conference teams challenging. What do you see?
No, the way that the playoffs are set up with seven-game series, I think it's always pretty clear who the better team is. And I think, you know, probably the three top teams, I'll say definitely the two top teams in the league. If not, if you want to throw Oklahoma City in there ahead of Cleveland, fine. But the two top teams are in the West. And you know, like you said, Toronto, I think it's pretty good, but I don't think any of those teams in the East are in the same tier as Golden State and San Antonio. But if you look at, I think a fun team to watch is the Boston Celtics. I mean, you look at their team, they really don't have any, you know, stars. They don't have any superstars. They don't even really have any stars. They just got a bunch of young, good guys who play really well together, and I think their coach has a lot to do with it. I mean, when he came over from Butler a couple of years ago, I think a lot of people were like very anxious to see what he would do in the league, and I think those guys love playing for him. You know, you got guys like Marcus Smart, Jared Solinger, you know, Evan Turner. I mean, they're fun to watch, and I think give those guys a couple of years, they might be competing and be a team like the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're look at Crowder, and I mean, they got a bunch of guys who want to play it, and I think that always comes down to the game is if you got guys that want to play and guys that want to be there. And I think that's what really separates the teams. I mean, I think that separates the winners from the losers. And I think that's something that's, you know, important when it comes to sports, as you know, because you're an athlete. Okay. We've got to see, you know, the winners and losers separate. And usually it's done by, guys that, you know, get it and know what to do and so on and so forth. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely right. But, yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to the second half, you know, of the NBA season because I think, you know, got a lot of things to look at. I mean, the Warriors chasing that record down, you know, what is Cleveland going to be able to do the rest of the way, you know, finally getting in the swing of things with Tyronn Lue. And I think it's going to be exciting, you know. But, you know, let's move on to the MLB. I mean, pitchers and catchers report, I think, in about a week. And I'm getting very excited about it. I need my baseball and my football. And, you know, what a better way to start off than looking at this year's power ranking. And coming in at number one, ranked by CBS Sports, is our Chicago Cubbies.
Well, I mean, that's not a surprise. I mean, they're pretty good. But I think that I think you got to be obviously the Mets with their pitching. But the Cubs, listen, the Cubs are awfully good. And they were awfully good last year. They were just the Cubs' problem last year wasn't even their pitching. Their problem last year was their defense was really horrendous. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were really brutal in the postseason. I mean, Schwarber's going to end up either they're going to bring a DL or DH to the National League, or he's going to end up in the American League. I say.
You think so?
I do. I mean, he just doesn't play.
Well, I mean,
by defense.
Right. I mean, hopefully that's something he can work on, because the guy is a monster at the plate. I mean, sure, he has, I think, a ton of potential to be, you know, 40 home run a year guy, which is really saying something for, you know, a guy who just started playing in the big leagues last year. But I feel it's kind of weird for me, you know, being a Cubs fan and having them ranked number one at the start. I kind of don't like being that, you know, that guy on top. I feel like the Cubs, you know, are that perfect team to swoop in and win a World Series and make it a Cinderella story. But, you know, I think it's a little different when you're, you know, you're one of the top dogs and people are expecting things out of you. I mean, I remember the last time the Cubs were the best team in the league, they got whooped and swept by Manny Ramirez and the L.A. Dodgers. I mean, that was already 8 years ago. But, yeah, I mean, the Cubs, this is a good time in Chicago. Cubs are getting back at it. And, you know, obviously we like the Sox, too, on this show. And I think they're going to have a good year. I mean, we said that last year. But, you know, the addition of Todd Frazier, I think, is awesome for those guys. And you got, you know, you got Chris Sale. A lot of good young pitching on the Sox, which I really like. But, you know, let's look at the rest. Let's round out the top five. CBS has Kansas City at 2, the Mets at 3, the Giants at 4, and the Astros at 5. I think this is a, you know, an interesting year to look at the Giants. I mean, you know, say what you want about them, but they have been, I think, the best team in baseball over the past 6 or 7 years. They got 3 world championships, and they didn't make the playoffs last year, but I think this is always a team to watch with Bruce Bochy.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, they're always solid. They're fundamentally solid. And there's another story of a guy on that club, Hunter Pence. He was out all last year. You know, he came back for a little bit, but that's, you know, a key guy that really just holds the glue together. And so, you know, certainly I give them a lot of chance, and we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Make sure if you miss an episode, you pick it up at the libertytalk.fm. Always available on your demand, and also the Bubba Show is there as well at libertytalk.fm. We're going to stop by here for a break right now. We'll be back after the break. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We will be right back to Sporting Edge. Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And so, Xander, yeah, so I like, look at the Giants, competitive. You know, I think the Dodgers, that's always a great division. It's always a great race. And I arguably, I think that the Giants have, in my eyes, one of the best big game pitchers of all time. I mean, you know, we talked about him last week, Madison Bumgarner. I mean, I don't know how you can't rank him. I mean, if I'm going for one game, I'm taking him.
Right, I agree with that. I think he's the best and has the best World Series stats, you know, of all time. You know, coming from a couple of years ago when he was pitching against the Royals. But the team that scares me the most in this league is the Mets. Because, I mean, you look at the playoff rotation of Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and Steven Matz. I mean, that is absolutely terrifying. I think that Jacob DeGrom and Matt Harvey could be, you know, a number one on probably 28 teams in this league. You know, they're unbelievable pitchers, and I think Jacob DeGrom is just cracking the surface. I mean, Matt Harvey solidified himself as one of the better pitchers in the league a couple years ago and got hurt, but he came back and looked great. In the postseason last year. Jacob DeGrom is unreal, and I think Noah Syndergaard, once he hones in all his stuff, he's going to be almost untouchable. I mean, the guy is 6'6", throws almost 100 miles an hour. It's a very scary presence. And then, of course, you've got a very young Steven Matz, who showed some great stuff in the playoffs last year. I mean, he's a lefty, he's young, very electric. You know, I love that staff, and that's going to be a hard team to get by. Hopefully they don't run into our Cubbies next year.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough, and what's the American look like?
Well, you know, a team I'm looking at this year is the Blue Jays. You know, they lost David Price, but they really only had him for a couple months last year. I mean, they still have Troy Tulowitzki, and I think a guy to look for this year is Marcus Stroman. I mean, he showed some great stuff last year, a lot of great potential. The Blue Jays, I think, are definitely a team to watch out for. You know, you've also got the Rangers, who, you know, only got 12 starts from Cole Hamels last year, 0 from Yu Darvish, 10 from Derek Holland. You know, that's another scary staff. I mean, people forgot Yu Darvish came into this league and was one of the best pitchers in it right away. I mean, the guy's got great stuff. Cole Hamels, I think, is still one of the top left-handed pitchers in this league. You know, they lost Giovanni Gallardo, but I think they're going to have no problems getting back to the top. If you look at the Yankees, who I think might have some of the best relief pitchers combined that this league has ever seen. I mean, you look at Dellin Betances, Adam Warren, or Andrew Miller, excuse me, for one of the best 8-9 setup closer combos in baseball. Then you add Aroldis Chapman. I mean, you're looking at 7-8-9 of basically untouchable, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. Just unbelievable stuff. I mean, I saw a ranking come out a couple weeks ago that they projected the Yankees having the second, third, and fourth best relief pitchers in baseball, behind Wade Davis of the Royals. They're a team to look out for. I think the Red Sox make a comeback this year. I mean, David Price is David Price. I mean, the guy has always performed, has had slumps here and there, but overall season, I think he's going to be great. And I think Joe Kelly really has a breakout year this year. I mean, struggled a lot last year, but, I mean, this whole team did. Rick Porcello wasn't very good. But you got the emergence of Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts. They're going to be great. So I think they're a team to look out for. I mean, and also you got the Indians, who I think are a dark horse, I think, this year to win the World Series. I think guys like Yan Gomes, Francisco Lindor, they got a lot of young, untested talent that I think they could really break through in, the AL Central. I mean, I think that division is going to be up for grabs this year, and I think the Indians might end up taking it.
Well, they're a dark horse every year, the Indians, and they always seem to piss on themselves. So, I don't know about them. And, of course, Kansas City is going to be awfully tough to beat once again, and they didn't do any of the harm themselves this postseason. I think the Tigers are old, and I don't know what they got left. So it looks like the NL is a little bit stronger than the AL in my eyes. I think that we're going to see overall what goes on. But I thought some other interesting thing. Just a couple of notes is. Did you see Terrell Owens said that Chris Carter begged his way into the Hall of Fame? Did you read that?
I did read a little bit about that, and I think Chris Carter, is a guy I kind of look up to. I mean, I think he, looking at what was going on in his life and how he was able to turn it around and what he does now, I think he's a the kind of guy who should be, I think, a role model for a lot of people. Who were in his shoes. So, I mean, T.O. is T.O. is kind of like Charles Barkley, very brash, very outspoken. He's never been afraid to speak his mind. And then, I thought a little bit out of line with the comments, but it's T.O. I mean, him and Chris Carter, they're gonna battle it out, and I don't really have a problem with it. It's just kind of T.O. being T.O.
T.O. is right, and of course. Now Calvin Johnson retiring and Marshawn Lynch retiring. Any thoughts of those?
They were fun to watch, man. I mean, Calvin Johnson, I think you could say for a period of 6 or 7 years was the unquestioned best wide receiver in this league. And I give him credit for retiring. If he really wanted to do it, I'm sure his body doesn't feel great. I mean, you think about a guy who really was kind of a power receiver. I mean, a huge body, a huge guy, took a lot of hits, man. I mean, he is not, a DeSean Jackson type, kind of skirting around the field. He took a lot of big hits, and he was a great player. I think he was a very special talent, and I would have loved to have seen him play on a winning team. I mean, Detroit, I think, made the playoffs, I want to say, one time during his tenure there. And that's sad, but it didn't take away from the fact that he, was one of the best receivers in the league for a very long period of time. Sad to see him go. Also, Marshawn Lynch, I thought it was kind of cool how he said he was retiring. He posted a picture on Twitter of a pair of cleats hanging up over like a telephone pole. I thought that was pretty cool of him, pretty Marshawn Lynch. Not a very outspoken guy, kept to himself. Seemed like a guy that his teammates really liked, though. I can't say anything bad about him. I mean, he was always kind of a jag with the media, but I really just don't think he just didn't like to talk to people. He didn't like to, bring people into his personal life at all. And I watched a documentary on him a couple years ago that was very interesting, from where he came from. Very humble guy, very hard worker, and he's going to be missed. I think, he was one of my favorite running backs to watch in the NFL. Just ran with such tenacity, and for a guy who really wasn't that big, he really packed a blow. So, I mean, those two guys, really were the first, round of superstars that I got to grow up watching. And, I'm going to miss watching them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's strange, but and then of course coming into next year, you've got free agents. We talked about the Von Miller. How about Josh Norman? He's a free agent next year too.
Josh Norman really made a name for himself this year. I mean, he was unreal. You know, probably the best cornerback in the league, and that's very valuable. You know, in this day and age, having people who can cover people down the field. I mean, that's part of the reason the Broncos are such good defense. I know they had an unbelievable pass rush, but they probably had the best, you know, the best trio of cover corners in the NFL with Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, and Courtney Roby. So, I mean, cover corners are, you know, very rare, I think, to be as good as Josh Norman was this entire year. You look at his stats against all the big receivers he went up against, and for the most part, he dominated. So I think he's going to get a fat contract in the offseason.
Oh, I'm sure he'll get a real fat contract. And then one that I don't think is a big deal, but Kirk Cousins, does he get anything?
I think he does. You know, you look at the league, you need a quarterback to win. Kirk Cousins showed us this year, you know, much against what I was saying in the beginning of the year, that he is a very capable NFL quarterback. I always thought, I didn't think he was very good. But, I mean, he kept proving me wrong each week and led this team to the playoffs, or led the Redskins to the playoffs, and you can't count him out for that. Had a pretty good statistical year, and he's young, too. I mean, the guy can get better. I think he'll definitely get some money because, you know, no team wants to go into the year unsure right. about the quarterback.
We got about 20 seconds. Situation. We got about 20 seconds left or less. Houston next year, they host the Super Bowl. They got a chance to get to the Super Bowl? But your first team in history to be the host and be in the Super Bowl.
I say they have no chance.
And that'll do it for today's Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the All-Star game. We'll be back with College Buckets next week and with pros, and we will see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll see you next week. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.